sitting at the table.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
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 Just this.
Just this.
Equality.
Equality.
Remedy.
And protection.
Fairness.
Fair trial.
Privacy.
Right.
Will.
Peace.
Losers.
Lose.
Men.
This is my mistake. Let me make it good. I raised the wall. I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum.
Identity.
Family.
Home.
Conscience.
Expression.
Expression. Expression. Expression.
Participation.
Democracy.
Welfare.
Work.
Work.
Leisure.
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 Health.
Education.
Progress.
Culture.
Human rights.
Charter Dana.
Solid.
Fill in the border. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good day to our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM, and welcome to everyone tuning in over the internet at CJ. Oh, hold it!
CJTR.
I lost my place.
CA.
What happened here? Anyway, yeah, CJTR.ca. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a global collection of musicians. I'm Jim Hutchings, and joined by my co-host, Mona Hill. Terry Murphy is a pastor and a pastor's wife, as well as a mother and grandmother. Crystal Redekop is a mother of three children. Both women serve in their church in Regina. When Victory Churches International launched Not For Sale, the fight against sex trafficking, when they discovered the horrors endured by child slaves in the sex trade industry in Cambodia, both women made the decision to be involved in finding solutions. Today, Human Rights Radio will explore the child sex trafficking industry and what one group is doing to find solutions. Welcome, Terry, and welcome, Crystal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's great to be here.
Welcome. I'm just going to ask you, Terry, to move up a little bit to the mic because you have a soft voice. How's that, Jim? How's sound? Good?
Hi. I think it's great.
Great. Hi. So welcome, women.
Thank you for inviting
us. We wanted to start the show out with a story that Crystal's going to read to us. And go ahead, Crystal, and take it away.
Okay. And I'll just let our viewers know that it is it's a hard story to hear, but it's a true story. And so I just ask that you just hear it through. All right. Sri was like any little girl, trusting, carefree, and sweet. Her parents died when she was 7, and in the midst of her pain, she was sent to live with her uncle and aunt. This family already had many children and were very poor. So when a man came to their village and offered to pay them, take her away to the city, and give her an education and a place where she would be cared for, they jumped at the opportunity. Sri was torn yet again from the only security, the only loving arms she knew, and placed in the arms of a stranger. This man and Sri drove to the city, and along the way picked up a dozen more young girls, all looking just as scared as she felt. She wondered if their families were poor as well and couldn't afford the education and care that this man offered. Once this packed van arrived in the city, the man opened the doors and started pulling the girls out and shoving them toward a karaoke bar. An older lady shuffled them all into a back room where there were men waiting, some Western, some local. She didn't know what they wanted with her, or where the school and her new home were. She just knew that she wanted to go back to her family, that this wasn't where she felt safe. The men started to touch the girls and pull at their clothes, bargaining prices with the madame. Three watched as the men started taking the girls into dirty rooms off to the side and heard their cries for help. A man took her by the arm and led her to a room with one dirty bed and pushed her down. The things he did to her, amidst her screaming and fighting, she couldn't even explain. She shouldn't even be aware of this part of life at this tender young age. When he was done, he left her, naked and shaking uncontrollably on the bed. The older woman came in and started hitting her, telling her next time she was to be quiet and do what the men wanted or she would get beaten. They gave her drugs to put her in a state of lethargy so the men could get what they paid for without a fight. In the next few weeks, this little girl serviced up to 25 customers a night. Afraid and alone with no one to turn to, this little girl lived a hell that we can't even imagine. A heartbreaking story.
And we know that an estimated 30,000 victims of sex trafficking die each year from abuse, disease, torture, and neglect. And 80% of those sold into sexual slavery are under the age of 24, and some are as young as that little girl, 6 years old.
Yeah, some are even as young as the age of 3, and there are actually currently in this world about 27 million people that are held in slavery. Some consider that number to be very conservative, and 70% of all victims sold into slavery are used in the sex trade, and then 80% of those are women and girls, with the average age being 12, as you're just saying. Mm-hmm. It's there are more slaves present right now than at any other time in history. And so for all the people listening who think slavery has been abolished, we are so mistaken.
The other one that I have is that, you know, you talked about them being even as young as 3 years old, that currently they're discovering human traffickers are increasingly trafficking pregnant women for their newborns. And they're sold on the black market, where the profit is divided between the traffickers, doctors, lawyers, border officials, and others. And the mother is usually paid less than what is promised her, citing the cost of travel and creating false documents, and the mother might receive as little as a few hundred dollars for her baby to be sold.
Isn't that incredible? It's hard for us to get our head around this kind of thing, that it's actually happening. We live in our own little world where we like to try to believe that people are basically good, and these kinds of things should be not very common. But I think it's important that we say that it is happening, and it's difficult to hear, but it is happening. And if we pretend it's not there, it's still there, and these people mm-hmm. are still suffering.
That's right. It's a really easy thing to just turn away from, because we don't want to hear the ugliness of it. It doesn't make us feel good, but we have to. We have to if we're going to make a difference. And, you know, and one of the reasons that, you know, people are choosing to have sex with small children and babies is because of many believe that if they have sex with a small child who is a virgin, it will renew their youth and their and if they have AIDS, it will heal them.
Yeah, that's a common misconception in a number of African countries, and yeah. We've delved into that, I think, haven't we, when we did a show with a woman from Africa on mm-hmm. HIV?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's great that you're willing to talk about it in mm-hmm. this kind of forum and let people hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Amnesty International, of course, is very heavily involved in this issue of child slavery and sex slavery, and the key points from the human rights perspective are regarding the physical, psychological, and sexual abuse, first of all, and the deprivation of liberty and the denial of freedom of movement, as well as torture, ill treatment, and in some cases, even the right to life, because we do know that if children aren't right for the trade, they can just as easily be knocked off. Just
yes.
thrown away.
That's right.
Just killed and thrown away, yeah. And no one cares.
Right.
And they literally, it's good to bring that up, but they literally are slaves. You know, they are held captive. Many of them have armed guards that force yeah. them to stay there. They cannot leave. And if they try and run away, they'll get shot and killed.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't do what they're supposed to while they're there, you know, one story of a little girl who was held in a bucket full of water and electrocuted, you know, until she would do what she wanted. And at some point she became pregnant. And when when they forced her to have an abortion, she begged to not have to service clients right away, but they said, no, you need to. And when she refused to listen, her madame took a sharp metal object and stabbed her in the eye. And at that point, then she was no longer sellable, and so they threw her out to the street. And she was rescued, so that is good.
Well, and as you say, you know, with all this torture, instead of receiving protection, trafficked women are often charged with other offenses when they get caught, right? Mm-hmm. And often fear of retribution or deportation, because a lot of them are sold across border, all That's over right. the world, they're sold across border, if they report their traffickers. So there's so much fear. As with any abusive situation with human beings, you know, fear-mongering is a big part of the training. And they're trained.
They're trained, and this is one of the reasons why Cambodia is so vulnerable, and we're targeting Cambodia with our efforts right now, is because the people that are my age now were the children in the 70s under the Khmer Rouge, and those children were trained and forced to do the torturing and the murdering of those with any education or anybody that was undesirable or not a puppet of the Khmer Rouge. The children were the ones that were doing what you're describing, Crystal, dunking people's heads in urine and electrocuting them and doing the tortures. There's museums that document all of the things that these children had to do. These are the children that are the ruling generation there now. The moral fabric of that country has been forever transformed, and unless there's intervention and rescue, the children that are coming up under that, that's normal.
It's become the norm. And we're not just talking about Asian countries, we're not just talking about South American, but even in Canada.
Yes.
There's a First Nation young people.
Even in Regina.
Just women, heard of in
all
Regina.
Around us.
It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The victimization is terrible.
Yeah. Right. This is where we have to be really careful about even our watching the laws that are being formed right now around sex trade and even as simple as the age of consent debate. You know how the conservatives want to raise it and others want it lowered. And I couldn't believe the one reason that was cited to me by one politician to keep it low was that when children involve themselves together sexually, they shouldn't be punished. And I'm saying, no, you don't get it. We have to have some sort of age there where so the laws can protect these children from predators. That's where these laws have to be in place, not to prosecute children who get into things that they don't know how to handle, but so that they can be protected from predators. And some of the laws that are being discussed now about protecting the prostitutes, they're not really designed to protect the prostitutes. They're designed to protect the pimps and the slave masters. Mm-hmm. We need to really be wise and not get taken in and deceived by some of the rhetoric that you hear, and know that there is a great evil that's behind the pressing to change we have to have laws that will protect. We really do. If we don't protect them, who will?
And I mean, that's a huge issue, because they generally, as I stated earlier, they end up in jail for whatever reason, and the madams or the pimps or the owners are off scot-free because they're willing to pay off the lawyers, they're willing to pay off the judges, and there
and
is
here
nothing
in Canada
for
as
them.
Well. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What else do you have for us, Crystal, in terms of those statistics?
Okay. Well, let me grab. I'll just maybe tell you a little bit. Right now, the sex trade industry is said to be the third fastest growing industry in the world, which is huge. It's estimated to be in excess of $42.5 billion. Each girl will earn somewhere between an average of $13,000 and $67,000 a year for their for their madame or their pimps, so they're bringing in money, and these girls don't see any of that. Of course, they receive very little food. They are, as we said, often starved, and they're kept there, and they're told, well, no, you need to earn back what we paid for you, but there's never any chance of being able to earn that back.
Well, speaking of earning back, you can buy a woman for $10,000 and make your money back in a week if she's pretty and young. And then everything else is profit, according to Ludwig Feinberg, a convicted trafficker.
I was recently listening to a documentary where one John confessed to having sex with over 500 girls in a 2-year period. You know, in many of these countries, 70% of the men buy girls. Mm-hmm. They will purchase a girl, and you know, you could compare that to ordering pizza. Maybe 70% of Canadians order pizza. Well, they're in some places 70% of men buy girls. They're readily available, mm-hmm. unfortunately, and it's just that easy, and it's disgusting, is what it is.
The Sudanese have a phrase called "use a slave to catch a slave," meaning that traffickers use broken-in girls. Girls that they would capture or buy and break them in at that young age, frighten them so that they can't leave, and then train them to bring in other girls.
Yeah.
This is pretty common too, apparently.
Wow,
it is. I've heard a story of one girl who, as she grew, you know, when she was brought in, she was obviously raped, forced into the sex trade, and endured all of this rape and horrific abuse, and eventually. In what she said she had to find a way to survive, and so eventually she was trained to do the exact mm-hmm. same things her madame did to her.
Yeah,
and so it's something of a vicious cycle.
And what strikes me as a feminist is that you end up having these women consistently perpetuating the abuse against women over and over again. Through this training and through the fear, mostly, I would believe, mm-hmm. you know, and through poverty. I mean, all the factors sure. that are involved, the outside factors yeah. that are involved in this.
It's power, too, that becomes an issue when you're abused. You know, abuse creates a sense of powerlessness.
Absolutely.
And fear, which go hand in hand with gaining control to
right.
deal with the fear. So it is a cycle that we have to somehow provide something for women to feel empowered in their lives without gaining power over others.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd also like to bring to the forefront that we do need to acknowledge that there are young boys also
yes.
who are sold into the sex trade industry.
Yes,
absolutely.
I saw a video, maybe a year or so ago, about young boys that were being purchased by the Taliban to be used by
yeah.
their leaders and
yeah.
to be used as slaves. And to be used for dancing and, you know, entertainment mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. And
yeah.
so we need to keep that in mind as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if that's something that's predominantly known, that boys also are used.
I think there's very little known about it. I don't know that much myself. And I know that when something like that happens among men, there's the tendency to not talk, where women will
exactly.
talk. But they have to keep it secret. It's not talked about.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And something I would like to say, and I will probably mention a few times throughout this program here today, but I have, and this is sometimes hard for me to even think about, but I have a little boy who's 6 and I have a daughter who is 9. And I, you know, I put them to bed at night and I cover them up. They go to bed with a kiss and a hug every night and they have no fears for a second. They go to bed happy, content, and they wake up happy and content, and they know that they have a mommy and a daddy who love them very much. And I just want to put it out there, because I know many of our viewers will have children too, and who would absolutely do anything to keep their children safe and keep them protected. And I really believe that it is our job for those of us who are living in these safe countries, who are very privileged here, to protect the unprotected and mm-hmm. to defend the defenseless. And so, you know, as we get into talking about the solution a little bit later in the program, I just really want our viewers to keep that in mind, you know, that there's children out there who have no one to take care of them, who don't make sure that they're safe at night, and who do not even get to go to bed tonight, who will service clients all night.
Yeah.
So that's just something to be keeping in mind as you're listening today.
You mentioned earlier that, or one of you mentioned earlier that there are more young women in the sex trade than ever, more slaves. I mean, we could include any type
yes.
of child slavery, even child soldiers
mm-hmm.
in this. And one of the stats that I found is that slaves are cheaper than they have ever been in history.
Wow. Yeah.
And the population explosion, of course, has created this great supply of workers, and globalization has created people who are vulnerable and easily enslaved. And who would have thought that back in the days of talking about creating a global economy,
really,
that the victims of a global economy would be children.
Yeah, women and children are being treated like a commodity right now.
I don't think it's just now. We always have been, unfortunately.
Yes, that's true.
But I think probably more so now than ever in terms of this global financial economy where it's so cheap and there's so many people involved in it and there's so much profit to be made.
Yes.
Right. So incredibly much.
Yeah. Slaves are often sold just for $30 or to purchase sex for one time can be as low as $2. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's
it says nearly 7,000 Nepali girls as young as 9 years old are sold every year into India's red light district, or 200,000 in the last 10 years. 10,000 children between the ages of 6 and 14 are in Sri Lanka brothels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it crossed my mind that as a social worker, I've worked with a number of young women who are incredible young women. Beautiful human beings, beautiful spirit, and intelligent, and few of them that I've known have ended up in that position of being the one that was trained to bring in the girls and talk about it freely about the things that they used to do, how they used to get the girls together, and how to make the money off of them and work for the pimps and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm. First-hand knowledge that this absolutely does happen right here in Saskatchewan, right here in Canada.
Mm-hmm. It does.
This is a tough subject.
It is.
How did you get involved in this, Crystal?
Well,
what made you decide that this was important for you?
It's hard to even put in words, but just sexual violence has always been something that has enraged me, and I often would just take time and just pray for the young girls out there who are dealing with these horrific situations, and then I began to learn of what the sex trade actually is, and it was pretty hard for me to believe that this is really happening, that humans could do this to other humans. Unbelievable, but I didn't really know what I could do.
Yeah.
And then through my church, Victory Churches, I had heard they started a branch called Not for Sale, as in children are not for sale. And as soon as I heard it, I asked Pastor Terry here, I said, I want to be involved with this. I want to help. I don't know what to do, but somehow we are going to raise money for this and we are going to help open rescue homes and rescue these children. And so then we quickly learned of the opportunity to sell pendant necklaces with materials and design from Cambodia and Thailand and made over here and sold. And so I've been part of this fundraiser. We've raised probably about $8,000 to send to the rescue home through these pendant necklaces. Nice. And we also did a fundraiser last year called an international dinner, and it was a great success. We sent $15,000 over to the rescue home there, and it's not a burden that leaves me. It stays on me, and I hope it never leaves me. I hope I never forget about it. It's easy for us to go about our daily lives and get busy with things, but we have to remember that there's children out there who are waiting for us to do something. And so,
you're right. It can be so monumental that there can come time when you just say, "What more can I can't do anymore? This is all I can do." So, well, congratulations for taking this on. How much time do we have, Jim? 2 minutes. One of the things that I told you to go by fast. One of the things that I think is so important that we've touched on is the reasons why this happens so often. Why is it able to happen? And we've mentioned, mothers selling their children, mothers selling their babies, fathers who have lost their wives with all these young children to look after, and it boils down in a good part, a big part, to poverty issues around the world.
And here in Canada.
Yeah. And that trickle-down effect that the powers that be talk about is, you know, if the corporations make all this money, eventually that money is going to trickle down to the ordinary average person, and they're going to do fine. And so far, what I see in that trickle-down effect is the money-making stays there, and the money-making is used, the profits are used to use others.
Yeah.
And if, you know, as far as looking after the children, it's so important and a major component, but we also need to consider, what do we do to prevent this from happening in the first place from mothers and fathers who feel they have to sell their children because they can't feed them.
Yeah.
And with that...
Well, I think that just throwing money at it, you know, money is the factor, but...
And we'll talk about that when we come back from the break, and we'll talk about solutions.
Yeah, I'm just going to mention the CJTR Annual Music Garage Sale coming up Saturday, June the 9th from 9 to 5 p.m., and we're looking for your donations. We're now accepting quality vinyl, CDs, DVDs, sheet music, musical instruments, and working stereo equipment. All proceeds from the sale will help keep your community radio station strong. Help us get ready for this major fundraising event by dropping off your items at 91.3 FM, CJTR, Suite 301, 1102 8th Avenue, or call us at 525-7274 for pickup.
Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight. I wish I may, I wish I might catch a falling star tonight. Try and catch a shooting star. Make a wish with all your heart. The stars shine brightly for you, and may all your wishes come true. Twinkle, twinkle, shine brightly for you, and may all your wishes come true. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world you shine like a nightlight in the sky. I wish I might catch a falling star tonight. Try and catch a shooting star. Make a wish with all your heart. The stars shine brightly for you, and may all your wishes come true.
Well, that's a fairly familiar child type tune.
It is. And the reason I chose that tune was because of the topic today. Welcome back to Human Rights Radio. I'm Mona Hill. We're here with Jim Hutchings and Crystal Redicrop and Terry Murphy are here from Victory Church.
Sorry.
And we're discussing child slavery and in particular child sex trafficking. And we kind of went over statistics and reasons for what's been happening. In the second half, we want to talk about what we can do and what some solutions are. But I wanted to sort of mention that, you know, the whole concept of a child being taken as some at birth, some up starting at age 5, 6, 7, 12, even young women who, you know, travel from country to country can be kidnapped. And that song represented to me what none of these children can have, and that is when we think of that song, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, it's a happy song to teach to our children. And Crystal, you were talking about how, you know, they don't have a bed to sleep in, or if they do, we know that most likely their conditions are filthy and living in squalor, and they don't have that opportunity to be children ever. And one of the statistics that Amnesty has is that over 71% of trafficked children show suicidal tendencies as they get older, which is perfectly understandable. The violence against the young girls and cause so many physical problems and emotional problems, that, and it affects their spirit and it affects everything about them for the rest of their lives. So when you consider that, what do we do? How do we fix this? There's millions and millions of children being sold into slavery and into sex slavery. What is your group doing?
Well, we're thrilled to know two Canadians that were willing to go over and give their lives into Cambodia for the rescue of these children. And what they did, they went last year and they began to work with other rescue homes and study what they did and learn all that was required with the government to set up their own rescue home. And in March this year, that's what they did. They've opened another rescue home. And those are the ones that we are sending our money to support this year. Because if you don't have people who are willing to go in and provide the service that has to happen, because these children need ministry to their bodies and their mind and their spirit, all of it. They first of all need to be given a safe place. So these people, they will go into the homes and meet with the children. They go into the brothels and meet with the children, develop a relationship and make their strategies to actually bring the children out and put them into a safe place where no one knows where they are. And they've got social workers and medical workers there to help. And they're going to be giving attention to the whole person, trying to give them a hope for their future. You know, something inside your heart and your mind has to have hope that I can have a better life, and that life can mean different things than all I've known so far. And I think that's where the solution has to be for the victims. They have to have a hope. First, they have to have a physical safety. They have to have a physical rescue out of that situation to some people who will not hurt them. And begin the long process of healing and hoping to give hope to them. And I think that's where the love, and that's what people can do. And of course that takes money. So money's part of it. But if you don't have the people who are willing to invest their heart and their soul and their time into putting it together, a healing strategy for these people, the money's not going to do any good.
True. That's right. Very true. Yeah. What about the governments? The governments in these countries are, you know, this is something I think that is important for Amnesty and for all human rights groups, is we need to be pushing these governments to take control of this problem.
Absolutely.
They're turning a blind eye to it. And
And in many cases, we know that they're, they are also making money off of these young people.
Yes. Yeah. I think lobby groups like Amnesty International, the Family Action Coalition, all over the world, people that will, I have tremendous respect for the people that will go to work to lobby the governments, because we do, we have to have proper laws in place. We have to have some sort of way to deal with the corruption or get around the corruption and the, you know, the payoffs and how they say follow the trail of the money. To what's going to make things happen, and we've got to be fighting that. We can't just be hands off, or they will rule the world. You know, you've got to be in there,
right? And the prosecution of those who are involved in the selling and buying, in the business side of it.
Yes, absolutely. There's got to be strict punishment, and if we don't rise up and create a tide against that, even to turn a blind eye or to wink at it or to not look at it, keep it in that place, then the evil can just take over like an awful weed. You know, it just will grow and grow and grow. But if there's a voice coming up saying, no, this is despicable. No, this is not tolerable. No, these children are people. No, they have rights. No, you're no, you're not allowed to do this. Mm-hmm. We've got to have a voice that will do that.
Yes, we do. I don't think we have enough voices currently.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
So, for the voice for your group from your churches, what are you doing besides going into the safe houses, creating the safe houses, and how are you raising the money to do that?
Well, see, our churches are multi-purposed, and you get people within a church movement that have a heart for a particular cause, and then they will run with that. And they'll network with others of like mind and specialize, if you will. And I think that our role here, our particular local church, our role here is to get behind those people as much as we can and provide whatever they need to make their job easier. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe Crystal and I can't leave our families and go into Cambodia and do that, although we're planning a trip next year to go and show some support. But what we can do here is draw upon the resources. You know, I first learned about this when my husband was traveling overland of Cambodia to get into Vietnam to visit some of our church members there. And the first thing they were faced with was being swarmed with people trying to sell them the young children. And I saw some video clip of my husband with no audio, and I could see he was seething. And he said what was going through his mind at that time is, and he's a pastor, so, but he was thinking, I'm going to pick you up and beat the rest of you with him. You know, it just, the outrage, it is in your face and it's pervasive. And he came back and he was teaching in a Bible school class then, and he shared with the students how he had wept when he cried out to God like you did, Crystal, saying, my children are safe. Do you love them more than you love these kids? And God said, no. To whom much has been given, much will be required. And so he came back with that. And it was that Bible school class that he shared that with, that one of the young people came out of it and has given their life into Cambodia now to rescue these kids. Mm-hmm. So that's what we can do. We spread the word. We carry the burden in our heart. We allow it to touch us. Allow it to touch your heart.
And that young man, Pastor Terry, that you just spoke of, we did just open our first rescue home with the Not For Sale or group, and Cambodia, where we are targeting, has very high standards, as they should, to be able to work with these young girls who have been sexually abused. Not just anybody should be able to go in and do it. And anyway, our rescue home passed all the standards with flying colors. We just welcomed our first girls, and we're pretty excited about that. And so we are seeing things happen and making things happen. And I kind of just wanted to mention that part of the process also is the education of people in some of these countries where the problem is more prevalent, because a lot of the families who will sell their children into this don't really realize what their children are really going to go through. They don't have a full understanding. They maybe think they're selling their kids to, you know, maybe work somewhere, but they don't know the horrors and the abuse that they're going to suffer. And so part of it's just educating the kids in school so they understand. A lot of the kids are lured by false promises. They're told they're going to go somewhere where they're going to receive a good job and make some money, and there's no good job waiting. Yeah.
I'm just wondering, at what point are you able to intervene? Are you able to intervene and rescue somebody that's already in that situation?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That's what many of them are doing. I'd like to get a more education on the different strategies they're using, but I do know that some of them are actually going in. Mm-hmm. That's why some of the workers have to be men. We have to have teams of men and women.
Right.
And they go in, actually into the brothels, okay. pretending, yeah, mm-hmm. to be a client. Mm-hmm. And they will develop a relationship and feel the situation out and work toward a rescue.
Huh. Are you aware of any times when a child has been rescued and someone's tried to take the child back?
I don't know specific details, but I know that that does happen, and I know it's very dangerous. I know that workers have been killed doing this, that a lot of the rings are mob-run,
yes.
and it's very dangerous work, and you mm-hmm. don't necessarily have the guarantee of police backup.
Mm-hmm.
So you put your life on the line to go in and do this work.
Yeah. And you're holding a fundraiser, aren't you?
Yes. On the 25th, next Friday, we're putting on... we're calling it a gala. It's a black tie event, and we're going to have international tapas served throughout the night. We wanted people to be able to have a mingling kind of atmosphere, so there's not much seating, just tables. The idea is we're just going to enjoy some symphony musicians and enjoy each other's company, and then we will have a fairly disturbing short message, you know, about the topic that we are supporting, and give the people an opportunity to partner with it again. And so it's $100 to come.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided this with a little bit of pain, because in the church you think, oh, I want the event to be that everybody can come, make it as right. inexpensive as possible. And then we decided, you know what? People are giving $100 to a soccer fundraiser. We should at least give these children that much honor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we said, okay, it's going to be $100, and mm-hmm. that grates against some people.
How are you doing so far with that?
Well, it's trickling in, so we're really wanting it's to push it. Yeah. It's trickling in, and mm-hmm. we can accommodate three times as many as we have registered right now, and it's going to be fantastic. And they will get their money's worth, but that's not what it's about. It's about we want people's hearts to say, yeah, I'm going to grab this, and I'm not going to mm-hmm. stand for it. And sure, I can give my $100 and give my body that night to this cause. And I think we have to change the tide of attitude and not be apologetic about it, you know?
Yeah. You know, in terms of the price, it's not unheard of to go out for an evening and you buy a couple of bottles of wine or whatever
exactly.
and have a meal, and you've spent $150.
Yes.
Yes. Easily done. Easily
and done. You know, the expenses to put the event on are being sponsored by the church.
Okay.
And so every penny that is raised from you when you come is 100% tax receivable. It's a donation. It will go totally to this rescue home. In this rescue
and
home, all of it.
Where is it being held?
It's being held at the Regina Victory Church.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1815 Rupert Street. And you can call 545-7885 and reserve a ticket that way. And you can also go online and give online if you want. We've just recently set that up. We're becoming more technologically...
And you mentioned earlier about Facebook. Do you have a Facebook page?
We do for the church, but we mm-hmm. need to set one up just for this, not for sale, don't we, Crystal?
An event.
We do.
Yeah, you'll have to learn how to do the events.
And it's not NOT.
And then you invite everyone you know.
It's not NOT and the number 4 sale.
Not for
sale. .ca is their website. But to give, you can come to our website and get the tax receipt, because you can't give in to Not For Sale and get the receipt. You can get it given through our church at Regina Victory Church. No, what's the website?
Regina Victory.
Regina Victory.com.
Easy.
ReginaVictory.com.
No.
Yeah. And you can get all the information we've been sharing, the statistics and a video, all kinds of things on the website.
Okay.
Lots on our website.
And you've done that. You did this last year, didn't you?
We did.
You? How did it turn out?
It was great.
Success?
You know, I started out thinking, well, I hope we could raise about $5,000. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. And we had put on this international dinner, and it was beautiful, way too much food. And we sold the tickets for $25, packed the place out, and I felt like the Lord said, no, it's going to be double, believe for double. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we raised $10,000 at the dinner, and then Crystal's necklaces raised another $5,000, so we were able to send $15,000. And we thought, hey, okay. So this year we're believing to double that. We're really hoping to send $20,000 over this year, at least $20,000 to $30,000.
And that'll be a lot. Worth a lot more over there too.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Crystal, is this one of your necklaces that you're wearing?
This is. I'm wearing a necklace that has a small child on it, and
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Yeah, we've been selling these necklaces, as I mentioned earlier, as a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. And all of the funds are going towards our rescue home.
So if someone's interested in buying one, how would they contact you to get a necklace?
Well, what they could do, I would say the easiest way at this point, they could just send an email to go to RegenaVictory.ca, and then just .com. Sorry,
RegenaVictory.com.
RegenaVictory.com, and they can go there, and if they want to send an email or give a call to the church there, I will have no problem setting up a time to meet. They can go to NotForSale.ca and talk to them about even selling these pendants on their own. It's been an awesome way to bring money in, and quite easy too.
How much time we got, Jim?
9 minutes.
Okay.
Can I tell you some of who's coming?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, we're excited. We have a Regina Symphony violinist and cellist that are coming to play for us.
Okay.
And
do you know their name?
I know the name of one is Maria Guidos Albert.
Okay.
And I can't remember the name of the cellist offhand. And we have our MLA and ex-Rough Rider, Gene Makowski, mm-hmm. coming to give a welcome. And I've heard rumors that there's other Rough Riders coming, too. So.
Oh, okay. So yeah. If you want to get your football fix in as well at the same time.
Come and rub elbows with them.
Yeah.
We're not going to be seated at tables, so we can just go talk to whoever you want to.
So it's going to be more of a very casual, relaxed environment.
Casual, and yet black tie.
Oh, black tie.
I have a
casual.
Formal gown.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's going to be fun.
So this is a gala event.
Yeah.
So it's formal, for
yes.
sure.
Yes. And then there's going to be a short auction of some exclusive art items that have been done specifically for this event. We have two painters that are painting specifically for this gala, and a potter that is donating a piece. And we have a jewelry piece that was designed actually for the breast cancer. It's an exclusive piece of jewelry as well. And so there's just a few very exclusive little items.
And the topic is children who are sold into sex mm-hmm. slave.
That's
and
right.
this is why you're holding this.
That's right.
And one of the things I wanted to mention for those of you who may have tuned in later and didn't hear at the top of our show is sort of to wrap up this horrific event that happens daily to millions of children and young women around the world is that human trafficking victims face physical risks such as drug and alcohol addiction. I know a lot of them are fed drugs and alcohol in order to control them. They contact STDs. They are sterility and danger of young women becoming sterile because of injury, miscarriages, and you mentioned forced abortion mm-hmm. earlier, Crystal, vaginal and anal trauma, among others, and we're talking small children
mm-hmm.
very often.
It's hideous.
As well.
Hideous.
It's absolutely hideous. Mm-hmm. So those are the physical effects. The psychological effects include developing clinical depression, personality and dissociative disorders and suicidal tendencies. As I mentioned earlier, over 71% of trafficked children show suicidal tendencies. There is, of course, post-traumatic stress disorder and complex post-traumatic stress mm-hmm. syndrome.
Mm-hmm. I would like to mention that with the rescue home that we have just opened, and it will be the first of a series of homes, but we are prepared to meet these children where they're at when they come in. And so we do have people to treat them medically and as well as emotionally. Of course, they're going to need a lot of counsel and a lot of nurture and a lot of love. And so we will be there and be just with them every step of the way. And so we're really glad to be able to do that. And eventually, as well as an education and, of course, housing, but eventually teach these girls a trade so that they can eventually be reestablished into mm-hmm. society in a healthy and safe way.
And make their own way.
That's right.
Are you involving people from the local communities into integrating doctors maybe from the local community, and then you mentioned social workers and different professionals? Are you incorporating the local people into this effort as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes. We're excited mm-hmm. to have some of the local people there working with us and helping along. We've just hired some great staff, so everything is set and ready.
Okay. Wow, that's incredible. I guess to wrap up, what else would you like people to know?
get your tickets. Get your tickets. Again, I would just like to say $100 isn't really that much. You could just not drink your Starbucks for a few weeks, and that'll cover it, right? And so 545-7885. Again, I want to say that, you know, for those of you listening who have children, I know you would do anything to keep your children safe. So be thinking about that. These children don't have anybody out there looking out for them. And so this is going to go a long way in helping those children and giving them a safe place. We need to be thinking of that. It's one night, $100. Yeah. Easy.
Totally worth it.
Well, yeah. Said, Crystal. Yes. Get your tickets. Echo that.
And it's next Friday,
next
isn't
Friday.
It?
Yes.
Yeah. May 25th, 7 p.m.
And at?
At 1815 Rupert Street, okay, at the Regina Victory Church.
Okay.
Google it.
Yes. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so
it's
much.
It's been a very tough subject.
Thank you, Mona.
I think we've covered as much as we can possibly cover, yeah, in an hour. You know, I mean, this is a whole year's worth of education, I think, in some respects. So I'll let you take it away, Jim.
Okay, I'm just going to go over CJTR's annual music garage sale one more time and remind you that it's coming up Saturday, June the 3rd, and it will be from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So therefore, we are looking for your donations. We're now accepting quality vinyl, CDs, DVDs, sheet music, musical instruments, and working stereo equipment. All proceeds from the sale will help keep your community radio station strong. So help get us ready for this major fundraising event. Drop off your items at 91.3 FM CJTR, Suite 301, 1102 8th Avenue, or call us at 525-7274 for pickup. As we close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio, we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For info on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Every Tuesday, 7 p.m., Amnesty Letter Writing, Atlantis Coffee, at Victoria Avenue and Hamilton Street. Several Amnesty members will be present, writing current Amnesty International appeals. Please feel welcome to join them for some letter writing. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."